Wow, a great verse we want to talk about. Thank you, choir, praise team, praise band. What an incredible, what an awesome God we serve. Amen. We sung all about that this morning, how great He is, and to God be the glory, great things He has done. I just want to declare that from you. Maybe it's your first time here. Listen, you just got to know what God has wrought in this place in the last 16 months. To God be the glory, great things He has done. And we rejoice in that, and we celebrate that, and we walk in that, and thank God for what He is doing and what He is continuing to do. Well, some of you are wondering, a globe, good night, a big old globe, what in the world? Well, its globe has a lot to do with what we're talking about, for God so loved the world. And we're going to be talking about Lottie Moon Christmas offering here in a few weeks, and about international missions, what God is doing around our world. And so this is just kind of our thematic element to think about and remind us about that God has a heart for the world. And this will also give us a vivid illustration as we talk about this morning about the greatness of our God. I heard a statement that was made. It's very, very true. And there's the statement. Unfortunately, sin causes us to have a bigger view of ourselves than we really should have. And as a result, a smaller view of how huge and awesome our God really is. In order for us to understand Him, sometimes we seemingly dumb Him down. We make Him smaller, more proportionate to us, so that we think we can relate to Him better, when in fact our God is so great, so large, so awesome, so powerful, it ought to blow our minds. In John chapter 3, there's a conversation taking place of which the Scripture is a part. It's a conversation with Jesus and Nicodemus. And a famous conversation, Nicodemus, a guy that was religious, he had all the right answers. He knew all the right questions to ask. But yet he found himself missing, and so he comes in the dark of the night because he's afraid that somebody might find out he was coming to meet with Jesus. And he begins this conversation, and Jesus says to him some very strange things that Nicodemus could not wrap his mind around. He said, "You must be born again." And Nicodemus says, "How can a man be born again? A man can't re-enter his mother's womb a second time." And Jesus says, "Not born again of the flesh, but of the Spirit." And there within this verse, God perhaps gives us the greatest simple verse to help us explain this truth, the gospel. For God so loved the world, He gave His one and only Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish, would not die, but would have everlasting, eternal life. God describes Himself all throughout Scripture. Matter of fact, this book is a revelation of who God is. This Bible is not about mankind. It's about God and His dealings with mankind, and His grace and His mercy and His love and His affection for you and for me. If you'll take your Bibles, if you would flip over to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, beginning in verse number 13. Isaiah chapter 40, beginning in verse number 13. And here, Isaiah began to describe our God. You can follow along with me if you don't have a copy of God's Word with you this morning. Here's what it said, beginning in verse number 13. "Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord? Or has His counselor has informed Him? With whom did He consult, and who gave Him understanding?" Talking about God here. "And who taught Him in the path of justice, and taught Him knowledge, and informed Him in the way of understanding? Behold, the nations, the world, are like a drop from a bucket and are regarded as a speck of dust on the scales. Behold, He lifts up the islands like fine dust. Even Lebanon is not enough to burn, nor is beast enough for a burnt offering. All the nations are as nothing before Him. They are regarded by Him as less than nothing and meaningless. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare with Him? As for an idol, a craftsman casts it, a goldsmith plates it with gold, as a silversmith fashions chains of silver. He too is impoverished for such an offering. Selects a tree that does not rot. He seeks out for himself a skillful craftsman to prepare an idol that will not totter. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been declared to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is He who sits above the vault of the earth. And its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain, who spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He it is who reduces rulers to nothing, who makes the judges of the earth meaningless. Scarcely have they been planted, scarcely have they been sown, scarcely has their stock taken root in the earth. But He merely blows on them and they wither, and a storm carries them away like stubble. God says, to whom then will you liken me? That I should be His equal, says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars, the one who leads forth their hosts by number. He calls them all by name because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and justice due and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. One other verse. Let me just add this one last verse to you. Turn over a couple of pages to Isaiah 43. Would you do that? What incredible scripture we just read. Good night. Verse number 10 of chapter 43. He says this here. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen. Why? In order that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, and there will be none after me. I am the Lord, and there is no Savior beside me. Circle that. Big bold letters. There is no Savior besides our God. That's an amen, by the way, right there. It is I who have declared and saved and proclaimed, and there was no strange God among you. So you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and I am God. Even from eternity, I am the He, and there is none who can deliver out of my hand. I act, and who can reverse it? That is our great God. God, would you give us a picture of how awesome and powerful and mighty you are this morning? That you and you alone are God. There is no other. And Father, I pray for any person who's never really understood how great you are. Lord, it would bring us to our knees. It would blow our mind how awesome and huge and powerful a God that you are. Speak to us now, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to talk about four things with you this morning, each of these briefly. Number one, I'm going to spend here the most of our time. Number one, notice this about, and find your outline, is this. God is, in each of these statements, God is, and this is some amazing, unbelievable news. God is indescribable. Chris Tomlin wrote a great song called He is Indescribable, Unchangeable. You can't even put into mind, into words, how great of our God is. Our language does not have enough verbs and nouns and adjectives and pronouns to describe our great God. I'm going to share with you some amazing news. Number one, God is the only God. He has no rival. He is unequal. He is unparalleled. Satan is not his co-equal. Let me be clear. Be reminded, dear church, and as I was in the shower this morning, I thought about this thought, and it doesn't make me scared to say it, but it always puts us in his crosshairs. Listen, Satan is not God's enemy in the sense that he is already defeated. The battle has been fought. It was won on Calvary's cross, and it is forever settled from now through eternity. You can walk out of here knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt there is nobody that is equal with God. Satan is not an equal foe. He is a defeated foe. Therefore, he is not equal. It'd be like me saying that Eric Brady and I are going to go toe-to-toe, and we're an equal foe. We're not equal, are we, Eric Brady? If you don't know Eric Brady, he's about 6'6", about 200 pounds and a little bit more, and played line at Delta State. And I'm five and a little bit and about 100 pounds. And so we'd go toe-to-toe, line up right here, toe-to-toe. And guess what's going to happen? Guess where Brad Eubanks' rearing is going to end up? On the floor. I'm going to have a concussion on the back of my head because I'm not going to be able to catch myself. We are not equal. It is like God. Somebody's saying God and Satan are equal. No, they're not. Satan's nowhere in the league of God. We serve a great and awesome God. He is the one true living God. Secondly, he is eternal. This one always gives me an incredible migraine headache. I can't wrap my mind around this. God, listen to this, has always been. And our children always ask us, well, when did God start? He didn't start. He's always been. Eternity never started and it never ends. That's eternity. I know that gives us a headache when you really try to think about it, because we are bound by space and time. God is not. He is outside of that. He is the beginning and the end. The Bible says he is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. It starts with God and it ends with God. God was before there was anything. He was God. Notice this, thirdly, God is all what? All knowing. all present, all powerful. God is in all places at all times. God has power to control everything in this world. There is nothing that God is not in control of in our world. And that's a great, great good news for some of you, because sometimes our lives feel as if they're spinning completely out of control. Hey, listen to me. God has the whole world in His hands. He's got your life in His hands. He's powerful enough to take care of where you are. He knows where you are. He knows everything about you. And that's the amazing thing. He knows everything about us, and He still loves us. Notice the fourth thing. God is the Creator. God is the Creator. Wow, this is some incredible news. I just want to, Psalm 19 verse 1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. Psalm 97 6 says, the heavens declare His righteousness. Folks, God created this world by a word. He spoke it, the Bible says, into existence. The Bible says that stars literally were breathed out of God, if you will. Just to give you I don't know if you like science. I didn't like science a lot, but the older I get, the more I begin to like science, especially in a message like this, especially astronomy. And I love it when God uses lost people to help illustrate the God of the universe. You can go to a website. It's of the Hubble Telescope. something.org. I don't know how it works out. And they have some of those amazing images of space you can ever imagine. Some of those beautiful pictures of millions and trillions of miles away. We have images of these thanks to the Hubble Telescope. In our own Milky Way galaxy, there are well over a billion stars in just our galaxy alone. Scientists would guesstimate, they don't really know, that there are probably billions of galaxies. So you take that, there's probably quadrillions of stars. And the Bible said God knows them all by name. And not one is out of place. And yet the Bible says God knows you by your name, and He knows every hair on your head. That's how great our God is. 7 billion people on this planet. He knows your name. He knows where you are. He knows you're sitting in this sanctuary right now. He was instrumental in getting you here today. Were it not for Him, you would not be able to draw your next breath. He is the Creator of life. Just want to give you a perspective of how big our God is and Creator. I want to think about the sun for just a moment. The sun. There's a picture of the sun. The sun we know is 93 million miles away from the earth. We thank God for that, because if we were 1 mile closer, guess what would happen to our earth? We would burn up. If we were 1 mile further away, we would freeze to death. If our axis was not turned just right, the way God specifically placed it, we would not have life on earth as it now exists. It's millions times the size of the earth. I want you to help think through this idea. If earth were a golf ball, there's earth. Now, find yourself on earth right there. Can you find yourself real quick? Can you find, maybe you can find yourself up there, right? You're up there on the butt. But let's take it down a little further. This is earth, okay? And you're on earth. You got the perspective right here? The golf ball is 15 feet in diameter of the sun. Now, this is not a big enough picture, but you get the idea. Look at earth over here. Can you see it? It's a dot. It's a top of an eraser. If that, to even go on the sun. You see how small earth is. You see, we get so earth-centric. We think we're so big when we're really so small. Scientists tell us if you took this golf ball, you could fit 960,000 golf balls, or earths, 960,000 earths inside the sun to fill it up. The way to think about it, you could take that many golf balls and fill up an entire school bus, and that's how big the sun would be. And by the way, the sun is just one of millions of stars in our own galaxy. In our small little cul-de-sac in the universe, these planets, these 9 planets in the sun, they say there's 8 now. I'll still go with 9 because that's what I learned, so I'm not changing, no matter what they say. And there we see these small planets. Look at how small we even compared to Saturn and to Jupiter, Mars. Let's go out a little further if we can. Let's go out to a star they discovered called Betelgeuse. This star is 427 light years away. Now, I'm not smart enough to understand science and how far that is, but let me just tell you something. It is a long, long, long way from Earth. Its light started millions of years ago to get to Earth, 427 light years to be exact. You know how big this star is? It doesn't look that big right there, does it? But you know what? It is 2 times, if Earth were a golf ball, all right? And it were 2 times the size of Earth. we would say two times the size of Earth. But no. It's two times the size of the Earth's orbit around the sun. To put that in perspective, you could take this golf ball, put it at and I've been there, to the Empire State Building, put it at the bottom of the entire State Building, and put six Empire State Buildings on top of each other, one on top of the other, and put your golf ball at the bottom. That's how big Betelgeuse is. Still feeling big? Not so big, are we? Well, that doesn't even go further. We discovered another star in recent years. This one's called Musefi. This star is a beautiful star there at the top left. You can see it there. We know about this star. If you take this star and Earth were a golf ball to help you think through how big this star is, and you put your golf ball at the end of the Golden Gate Bridge, and you put two Golden Gate Bridges, and so you got a one into San Francisco, and you put the ball there, and you go all the way to the end of the Golden Gate Bridge on the second one. That's the size of the star, Musefi. And you got the picture? You're a little blip on this big old Earth. And recently they discovered the largest star discovered to date. It's entitled Canis Majoris. Now, not very smart, but I think that means the big dog star, I think. That's a big star. If the Earth were a golf ball, you could place this golf ball at the bottom of Mount Everest. I've flown over Mount Everest. I've been fortunate enough to be 45,000, 50,000 feet, however tall Mount Everest is. I think it's in the 40,000 range somewhere. We're high above that, flying over it. You put Earth at the base of Mount Everest. Mount Everest is almost 6 miles above sea level. And that's how big that star is. You see, the Bible says that God holds not the stars, but the universe in his hands. By the way, in the star Musefi, you could fit 2.7 quadrillion Earths inside that star, but take a little bigger. This star, you could put 7 quadrillion Earths inside of the star. Now, look, check this out right here. You look at this? This is the star. Now, look, this isn't the whole star. This is just a smidgen of it. Can you see the sun? You see that little white fleck? You can't even see it. To the far left. That's our sun. Now, remember, let's go back for just a moment. How big was the sun? You could fit 960,000 Earths inside the sun. And look how small the sun is. And we serve a great God. But let me give you the best one of all. This is good. This would be worth you coming just for this. There's a galaxy called the Whirlpool Galaxy. If my memory serves me right, it's 31 million miles, light years away from Earth. It's beautiful, isn't it? Now, listen, I didn't make this up. This is straight off of the Hubble, if we trust the government's Hubble website, which I do. I think it's legit. The telescope's out there. We've talked to astronauts who've seen it, so it's real, it's legit. They peered way out into space, millions of light years away, and found this galaxy. And the scripture says that the heavens declare the glory of God. And they shined this telescope deep into the center of that black hole of that galaxy. And this is what they found. They call it the X. I call it the cross. The heavens declare the glory of God. There's the cross. That is a real image. Now, they didn't put indescribable on it. We added that. But you can go to Hubble Telescope. There's that image. And it looked like an X to me. That's how great our God. Not only is our God that great, God is the initiator. God initiates a relationship with you and me. Small as we may be on planet Earth and compared to the stars. But God initiates a relationship with me. We know two of the things about God, that God is holy. God is perfect. God is righteous. Those two things, holy and righteous. There is no sin within God. God is perfection. We can't measure anything but measure it by God, for He is the standard alone. His righteousness. It's our calling in life to be righteous. God alone is righteous. And lastly, notice this. God is life and love. We want to define life. How do we define life? We simply have to define it by God. How do we define love? We define it by God. God is life. God is love. Think about this amazing God. The next time you go out on your back porch, maybe you'll do it tonight, and you look up into those stars, and they seem so small, and we think, twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder where you are. And we go, no, I know where you are. I know what you are. These stars are huge and ferocious, massive. And the God who breathed them out breathed breath into the nostrils of mankind. That's amazing news. Now, secondly, I want you to notice this. Some are going to say, well, don't be Debbie Downer. That's pretty amazing news. It is. But for us to understand the great news and the good news, we've got to know about the bad news. Here's the bad news. Because God is those things, we know some things about ourselves. Because God is those things, I am, number one, a sinner. Nobody likes to talk about sin today, and people in the world don't want to ever say I'm bad. I may not be great, but I'm not bad. I'm not evil. I'm not a sinner. Yet the Bible says that all of us, none of us are without sin. All of us are sinners. We've missed the mark. We can't get to heaven because of our sin, because God is holy and righteous. Secondly, because God is, I am lost. You ever been lost before? Now, being lost in a parking lot, you can't find your car, in a mall, but boy, that's bad. Boy, get lost out in the woods somewhere, and all of a sudden, every tree and every blade of grass and every leaf looks all the same. You get lost, and panic begins to set in. You see, sometimes in our world, we forget we're lost. Because see, we think in our earth, because our sin makes us think that we're found, we're pretty good, that we're not really lost, when in reality, we are lost as a goose. We are a sinner. We're lost. Thirdly, because of those things, we're doomed, the Bible says. We're doomed. Well, that sounds encouraging, doesn't it? Good news. Came to church today. You are doomed. Right? That doesn't sound good, does it? It's not. It isn't good. It means the Bible says because of our sin, because God is holy and righteous, God will not allow us into His presence because He is that great of a God. And He says we're doomed. Not only are we doomed, the Bible says we are hopeless and enslaved to our sin. We have no hope. We have no reason to live. That's why I meet people from time to time. They've not yet met Christ, and maybe you're one of those people here today, and listen to me. I love you, and I want you to hear the truth of the Word of God. You might even think that you have hope. I was talking to my son this week. We were talking about the word hope. We were reading the scripture for his God time this week, and we were talking about the word hope. What does the word hope mean? What are we hoping in? Is it a, boy, I hope I get to heaven? Without God, though, we have no hope. If this is all there is, how sad are we? So know the bad news. There is bad news. You and I are a sinner. We are lost. We are doomed. We are enslaved to our sin. And as a result, we are hopeless. But because God is, I can be. And here is the good news. Are you ready for it? Here's the good news. Notice this. Number one, I can be changed. And here's the greatest news, perhaps of all. You don't have to change. God will change you. You know what? Matter of fact, you and I are so not powerful that you and I don't have the power to change ourselves. You see, if that's the case, and some of us could find a way to be good enough, long enough, right enough to earn our way into heaven, the Bible says we'll never get there. We'll never change our lives. We all know that because we've all promised to never do something. You know what we always do? Eventually, somewhere down the road, we do it again, don't we? Not me, preacher. Not me, I ain't ever, never. Somewhere in your life, you've said, I'm changed, and somewhere you didn't. God says, I will change you. I will transform you. I will make you a new creation. Secondly, I will save you. Because God is, I can be saved. Now, am I worth being saved? Do I have that kind of value? No. But God chooses to say and values my life and says, I will save you because I am God. I will save you. I will change you. You can be born again, Jesus tells Nicodemus. What does that mean? It means that I'm born to a new life, a new way of living. One that is full of life, hope, peace. Thirdly, I can be complete. As you know that God created every man, woman, boy, and girl with a hole inside of their life that is not full unless it's filled with God. And you and I have met people, and you and I have been there at moments in our lives. We have stuffed it full of other things trying to fill that hole. And guess what? It never gets full. We always come up empty. We always come up short. And we always have to get more of something else to fill that hole. And God says, I will give you something that will make you complete. Notice the last two, forgiven. I can be forgiven. You ever remember a time you really blew it big time? I mean, think of a time. I mean, you know. You just think, I blew it. Maybe you blew it with a best friend. Maybe with your spouse. Maybe with a boyfriend or girlfriend. Maybe with a close friend, and you blew it. And you knew it. You were in the wrong. And you knew you had to come to that person and say, I've messed up big time. I need you to forgive me. And you dreaded it. You wondered what they'd say to you, how they'd treat you. And they look at you and say these magical words. I forgive you. You don't deserve it. You didn't earn it. You're not worthy of it. But they say you're forgiven. Oh, the joy. Magnify that times a quadrillion. And God says, I will forgive your sins. And listen, remember them no more. Some of you walk in the building this morning hopeless and lost. You can walk out forgiven. And lastly, set free. I meet people, and so do you, that are in chains and in bondage to things of this world. They're not free. Now, sometimes people look at believers and say, well, you're not free because you've got to do what the Bible says. You've got to follow the Ten Commandments. You're not free. I'm free to do whatever I want to do. But see, we understand that freedom doesn't mean there are no rules. When you have no rules, that's what we call anarchy. Freedom is what we find inside of God's guidelines of perfection. That's good news. Because God is, I can be. And notice last as we close this morning. Because God is, I can have what? These things. I can have hope that there is more to this life than just right here and right now. You can have hope. Secondly, you can have eternal life. Eternal life. What is eternal life? How do we describe eternal life? It is a life that does not end. It has no starting. It has no end. It means that we will always be in the presence of God. We're going to talk about heaven later towards the end of our series. Before we'll talk about hell before that. We'll talk about heaven and talk about eternal life. What is eternal life? In the presence of Christ, it will last forever. I don't know about you, but the best I can understand, forever is a really, really, really long time. Except it's not a time, it's just forever. And it will be an eternal life in heaven. Because let us be clear this morning. We are doomed. The Bible says, for those who choose to reject Christ will spend an eternity, eternal life, separated from God in a place created for the devil and his demons, not for mankind, but for those who choose to step over the cross and around God's love, the Bible says we'll go to hell. And what a sad thing that is. But listen, we don't have to. We can find joy because God is, I can have joy. Now, not happiness, Happiness is based on circumstances. How our life is today, how we walk in the door, and how things ticked off this morning. The Bible says I can have joy, which is unaffected by my circumstances, my situation, or where I am in life. I can have peace. I can lay my head on my pillow at night and know that all is well. I've never not put my head on that pillow at night. I don't think in my mind, boy, if I died in my sleep, where would I go? I go to sleep at peace. Now, our world is not always very peaceful, is it? Your world is not always very peaceful, but God says, I'll give you peace. I'll give you security. You don't have to be afraid anymore. We are secure. Notice the last two, and we're through this morning. A purpose and a choice. Did you know that God created you with a purpose? God didn't put you here just to take up space on earth, to be one little blip on a golf ball in the size of a star that's larger than we can even imagine or comprehend. It's giving you a purpose, a reason to live. And guess what that purpose is? It's not for you. It's for Him. Something that will get you out of bed in the morning. A calling on your life. And here's the amazing thing about it. We'll talk about God's love next week. Here's the amazing thing about God's love. God gives us a choice. You and I have a choice every day of our lives, and we have a choice today. And the question is, what choice will you make this morning? Would you do me a favor? Everybody, you bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment as we're closing this morning. I want to keep the lights up, Jake. We're going to need them up for just a moment. Our praise team and praise band can come to place. With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment, I want you just to have a moment alone with the Lord. And we've talked about how great our God is and how much He loves you. And I'm reminded of that image from that whirlpool galaxy that the heavens declare the glory of God. Maybe you're reminded this morning, because God is, I am a sinner. I'm lost, I'm doomed, I'm hopeless, and I'm enslaved. But thanks to the Lord, I can be changed and I can be saved and complete and made whole and forgiven and set free. You can have hope and eternal life, and joy, peace, security, purpose. But this morning you have a choice. I know many of you in this room, you've already made that decision to trust Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe somebody here this morning, maybe somebody invited you to come, or man or woman, boy or girl, you're listening to what God is speaking to your heart this morning, you would say, you know what? I've never asked Christ into my heart. And I want to invite you this morning with every head bowed and every head closed, and God's speaking to your heart and you know it. I want to invite you to trust Christ, your Lord and Savior. And you can say simply, privately to yourself, a simple prayer just like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. Today, I believe you are God. And that you send your only son, Jesus, to die for me. Though I didn't deserve it, I'm thankful. And today I confess you as my Savior, that I cannot save myself. And I commit my life to you as Lord for the rest of my days. Maybe others of you this morning have something on your heart. God's speaking to you this morning. You're not sure about your salvation. You're not sure if you're a member of a church somewhere where you need to be. And ask God to speak to us. Father, I pray for those that maybe just prayed that prayer. They'll have the boldness and courage in just a moment to look at that card and make a check on that blank. And maybe even be bold enough to come forward and say, I want to be a part of today. I want to ask Christ in my heart right here and right now. I don't want to wait. I want to make things right with the Lord right where I am this morning. Father, move in our hearts to respond publicly to what you've done in our hearts privately. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you take that card out this morning and look at it? All of us this morning. On this card, you might check here this morning. You've checked the top part and all the children in your house, birthdays, things like that. But there on that blank, today maybe you prayed to receive Christ as Savior and Lord. You just prayed that prayer. I just encourage you to pray. I want to encourage you to do something bold. Would you check that box right there and say, that's the decision I made today. We want to follow up with you on that decision this week. Maybe some of you would have checked this blank. I would like to know how I can be sure. You have some doubts. You have some concerns. We want to help you and walk you through that process. And you would check that blank. Maybe you say, I'm interested in becoming a member of this church. Maybe God's placed on your heart to come and join the day. You can check that box. Whether you check that box or not, you can come this morning and say, I want to unite with this church family and be a part of what God's doing here. Maybe you'd mark, I'm not a presently an active member of a church anywhere. Would you be bold enough? Would you mark that box so we would know that? If you're a member of a church, we're not going to pursue you. If you're not a part of a church family right now actively involved, we want to pursue you and encourage you to be a part of either this church or some church, to be a part of what God wants you to do. I'm a regular active member, whatever that might be for you. I'd like more information about Petal First Baptist, or maybe you've never been baptized. You've asked Christ in your heart, but like some, they come and say, I asked Christ in my heart 10 years ago, 20 years ago, but I've never been baptized. You come this morning and say, I want to be a part of being baptized. And I want to know what that means. We'll help you know that as well. In just a moment, we're going to sing a hymn of invitation, more time of worship, praying for God to do in our lives privately what we want Him to do publicly. Chris and I will be here at the front to receive you, to pray with you. This altar is open for you to do business with the Lord this morning. I want to encourage us to sing and worship and respond right now in this moment. Let's stand together. Let's do it right now. Would you join me? Let's sing together. Let's respond right now. We're at the front of your seat. You come right now.
As morning dawns and evening